grace has justified. With breath that brings the dead to life, with words that pierce the dark with light, only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power to. Rejoice, O child of God, lift your eyes to see, with every morning light, again we are redeemed. Rejoice, O child of God.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart, at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Father, once again we ask you to guide us as we look into the Word this morning. It is a message on healing, and it's a message on deliverance, and it's a message to the church that we are not bound by the limitations of the conditions of this world as your children. So I ask this morning that you would meet with us, you would guide our thoughts, in Jesus' name. I'm going to start by reading a passage that is found in Mark chapter 4, and then we're going to go to a psalm, and I don't even know what time it is. We have a few minutes here. That makes me happy that we have a few minutes. That's good. And so we're going to go to Mark's Gospel chapter 4 for just a couple moments, and here we're going to look at the passage that addresses Jesus asleep in the boat and the disciples terrified. And that still happens. That still happens. And listen, if you've had some moments of terror or fear, do not let the enemy accuse you, condemn you. Rather, grow out of it. Let your faith grow this morning in Jesus' name. Love this passage. It's very short. We're not going to spend a lot of time here. But I want to set the topic from this point. Mark chapter 4, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, verse 35. As evening came, again verse 35, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." He was already in the boat, so they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm arose. Now you can see across the Sea of Galilee. I mean, it's a large lake, actually. It's called the Sea of Galilee, but it's actually a large lake. And you can see across it. And if there's a fishing boat out on the lake and people are talking, you can actually hear, if you are up in the surrounding higher elevations around the lake, which everything's higher than the lake, then you can hear these individuals talking out on the lake like they were in this room, which is quite amazing. And so this storm comes up because of the depth of the water, the fact that it's a bowl. Terrific, horrific storms could come up. The waves can become quite high. Very dangerous. So they have this question. Jesus is sleeping at the back of the boat with His head on a cushion. Frantically, they woke Him up shouting, "Teacher, don't..." And I want you to get these words. "Don't you even care that we're going to drown?" Now he's sleeping, and they wake him up. And so we have 12 tough guys, from soldiers to fishermen. These guys were used to tough weather. They were used to the Galilee, very familiar with it, and they are terrified. And they finally came to the place where there is an answer. They finally came to God. Now, I guarantee you, it took something for them to humble themselves and say, "Help! I need help." But this is where they came from. And their question is, "Don't you even care that we're going to drown?" Now, you may have a different translation, and it may say, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" We're perishing. Or you may have a translation that says, "Don't you care that we are going to die?" They knew that their situation was a situation that if Jesus didn't do something, they were going to die. The boat is filling up with water. It's not like they have another solution. There is not a midnight Coast Guard that's going to save them. They don't have cell phones. There's no other thing to do. They realize, we're going to drown. We're in the middle of this thing. There's not a thing that can be done about it unless God does something. Now, every one of you have been in a situation just like that, where unless God does something, you're going to die. I mean, that's just the way it is. You're at a place, you may not even know how many times you've been there. I guarantee you that none of us have any idea how many times God has supernaturally saved our lives. The time when a truck is crossing the lane headed toward us. The time when you ate something and you felt like you were going to die, but you didn't. The times when you were maybe you were in the military. Maybe you were in other situations. Or maybe you were just like me, a really stupid kid that exposed, because of life choices, many exposed themselves to, they call them close calls, right? You know, I'm good. Some people think, I'm just good. They'll say, I'm bulletproof, you know, like the movie. I'm bulletproof. And nothing's going to hit me. No, none of us are this good. All of us have had a plan of the devil to take us out since we were born, because that is the plan of the devil. And God has said no to Satan many times over your life and mine, just like for these disciples. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, "Quiet down." I like the "peace be still" in the King James. Quiet down, peace be still. Suddenly, not tomorrow, not in an hour, but immediately, the wind stopped. There was a great calm. And he asked them, now listen to the two questions that Jesus is going to ask. The first question is, why are you so afraid? The second question that the New Living Translation puts out is, do you still not have faith in me? First question, the two are, they're tied together. The first one, why are you so afraid, is literally addressing their response and reaction to the circumstances they're in. And you could almost say, well, what's wrong with you, Jesus? Can't you see what's going on? We have every right to be afraid. We understand what goes on in this lake. And we're about to die. And so, not only could the disciples have argued their case, but many of us have. God, why am I going through this? God, why is this taking place? God, what is the outcome of this going to be? Why don't you do something? Well, God had done something. He put Jesus in the boat. And let me tell you, you have a better, much higher odds than the disciples did with just having Jesus in the boat. Now you're going to say, no, Pastor, you don't understand. If we're like Mary and Martha. If Jesus was actually here, not one of us would leave with an unmet need this morning. Yeah, because we have this mentality that somehow Jesus left us with a second class access to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The enemy would love for us to believe that if Jesus was here, we would have much better odds of receiving the miraculous, because we all know that Jesus is God. And so the enemy wants us to think because Jesus is not here, we have reduced opportunities for the miraculous. However, the truth is, Jesus said, "I will not leave you without a comforter. And if I go away, I'm going to send him to you. And he is not just going to be with you. He is going to be in you." And you read in John, we're going to get to that on Wednesday night. We have a powerful series going on Wednesday nights. Powerful series. And we're going to be looking at the names of God. And we're going to be searching for our testimony, how the names of God are manifest in our lives as individual believers. And we're going to be looking at some of this. But John talks about if we abide in Him, He abides in us. So as a child of God this morning, if you're not a child of God, you can be. You ought to be, right? You should accept Him if you're not yet. But as a child of God, you not only have the Word of God with you, you not only have the knowledge of God that's in your mind, but you have the living, dwelling presence of God that is inside of you through the abiding Holy Spirit. Is there an amen in the house? We are not left with a second tier opportunity to know and experience God. Jesus said, He said, "It will be good for you. It'll be good for you that I'm going away. Because if I go away, I'm going to come again, but I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit, and I will baptize you in the Holy Ghost." So, the disciples didn't have what you have. They didn't have access to what I have, what you have. They did not have a clue until after Pentecost. They had no knowledge at this time. But Jesus says, why are you so afraid? And then he brings it home. Do you still not have faith in me? Now let me just say this. Fear in a Christian's life is the result of some working of a lack of faith. What you need is faith. The Word says perfect love casts out all fear. And where do you get perfect love from? Only from God. And so if there is a presence of fear, the solution is to say, Father, strengthen my faith. Remind me that I am not alone. Remind me, convince me that you are with me, you are in me, that you are going to take me through. Amen? All right. That sort of got us started. Do you not care that we are perishing? Turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Hallelujah. Psalm 18, I had my wife put these first couple scriptures, maybe the first three in the bulletin today. And in this psalm, we're going to look at a portion of the psalm. We're going to go through probably verse 21. And again, I'm in the New Living Translation. In this psalm, we're going to see some things that take place. The first thing we're going to see is that this is a psalm of David. And David is talking about God's great deliverance. I guess you could say it's a psalm about the great escape. David writes a lot about traps. Now, one thing I enjoy watching is the Alaskan men, you know, those guys with ice hanging off their beard and all of that. You know, every little boy wants to grow up to be tough. Now I've realized I'm never going to be tough, so I'll watch somebody that looks tough, right? One of the things they do is, you know, they go out and trap. And, of course, my buddy Don knows a lot about trapping and has done a lot of that. And David talks a lot about that, how God delivers him from the snare. What is the snare? It is the bait. It is the trap. It is the enticement. And some of us, our lives for many years, we chased the bait. We survived. We got off the hook, maybe sort of. But our life was a life and lifestyle where we simply were getting by. We were always looking for the next bait. What is going to meet my need? What is going to feel good? What is going to take care of my desires at this point? David is a man who had been trapped and successfully caught by the enemy on a couple of occasions. And he got away with his skin, not because he was so good, but because the mercy of the Lord. If you're still alive this morning, it's because of the mercy of the Lord. I'm going to say it again because it infuriates the devil. That there is not a disease on the planet that has authority over my life. I am a child of God. My life is in the hands of God. God is my life giver. I live in Him. I move in Him. I breathe in Him. And I will serve Him, so help me God, as long as I live. I will not live in fear. I did not have fear before. I did not have fear during this season we spoke of this morning. Did not have fear. I had a constant peace and the presence of God. That's what I had. What more do we need? That's all they needed in the boat. I'm here with you. You're not alone. David's going to praise the Lord. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. Now, for men to admit that, it takes more than for most of you ladies, honestly. Most of you ladies find it easier to say, God, you're my strength. For a man to say that, Patrick, we're saying, I'm not strong enough to do it myself. Wow, that's hard for a guy to do. You know, sometimes it takes a thump on the head. You know, maybe a good trip and fall and a skinning of the shin. Maybe both shins to be able to say that. But David says, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. I can admit it. I can give you the recognition, God, that is due to you because you are my strength. The Lord is my rock. I'm not here today because of anything that I can do. I'm here today because God has kept me on a rock. God has moved me through my life from the time I was born to this very day. He has kept me on a solid rock. Storms have come, winds have blown, waters have raged, and I have been stupid crazy, and the devil has tried to kill me many times, but God has said, I'm not finished with McLean yet. And He's not finished with you yet. God is my rock, my fortress. My fortress, I'm not trusting in anything in the natural to protect me. Good thing. When they tell you in emergency there's nothing we can do, then we go to God and we go to the righteous and say, what can we do? Well, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my salvation, my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. What is he doing? He's praising God. The same way the Lord's Prayer starts, or the disciples' prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. Praise, thanksgiving. Hallowed be thy name. What is that doing? That's taking our eyes off of our circumstances, our storm, our wind, our waves, our sinking. When you feel like you're sinking, I'll tell you how I felt. It got to the point where I thought, I believe I have 24 hours left. That was in the morning. I believe I have 24 hours. I believe I'm strong enough to make it till tomorrow morning. Then there was a morning, Patrick, when I realized I don't have 24 hours. I might have 12 hours left. Well, even a blockhead from Scotland can be awakened at that point to say, something else has to be done, right? At some point in our lives, we need to take our attention off of our own personal strength and what we think we can do, and be willing to say, I need help, and give God praise for having kept us to this point. Because both are involved. God, I thank you for sustaining me and keeping me and bringing me to this point. But I now trust you to now carry me forward if it is your will to do so at this time. And I'll tell you, there were times during one or two days where I didn't say it, but I thought it, Father, I don't care if you take me now. I was at that point where I had no hope at all in my flesh. None. It wasn't a lack of faith. It wasn't that I didn't trust God. It was just I realized, I mean, I've been pronounced dead. I believe as a baby I was dead and God brought me back. probably most of you have those miracles in your life. I mean, I've been there, but when you're real close like that, and it's like, whatever you want to do, God, that's really where I was. Prior to that, I'm thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about, you know, what I want to finish. I'm thinking about WCNO. I'm thinking about building the church. I'm thinking about all these things. But at some point, there's a level of exhaustion. And a few weeks ago, I spoke about this, that the enemy was going to attack us physically and we would have physical fatigue. That he would attack us mentally, and he would like torture us in our minds, so that in our minds we lose the ability to grasp and to handle all of the facts that we're facing. But the part the enemy's really after is faith fatigue, where you lose hope in God. Did not lose hope in God. Lost hope in my flesh, but not in God. The sooner we call out, he moves from praise to prayer. Verse 3, I will call on the Lord who is worthy of praise. I will call on the Lord. I already started by saying a little bit about this, but let me tell you, I really was too weak to call on the Lord. That doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, my brain was still working, but I had no strength. I didn't read out of my Bible for those days I was gone. I could not focus. I could not continue a thought. Now, some of you may say, well, you know, we need to pray for you, Pastor. You need to become much more godly, and that is all true. But some of you have been to the place where you've been in a hole so deep where you didn't have a prayer in you. Some of you have prayed until you prayed out. Some of you have read until you've read out. Some of you have been so exhausted that there's nothing else to give. But God is still there. Remember Peter, he was sinking in the storm and he cried out. He got one cry out. And Jesus grabbed him and lifted him up. Let me tell you, when you pray and I pray and we pray one for another, God is not absent. He's answering prayer. And I said, David, you had more strength than me. I didn't have the strength to do that. Or at least I didn't do it. I could mentally, quietly pray, but I certainly did not have the voice to speak. I will call on the Lord who is worthy of praise, for he saves me from my enemies. And then look at verse 4. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translations, but I have to just tell you that this psalm literally describes what I experienced. The ropes of death surrounded me. The ropes of death. I literally experienced what felt like a massive boa constrictor that was squeezing the last breath out of my body. I've never experienced that before. The ropes of death surrounded me. Now, maybe you've never been there, and I'll thank God with you if you haven't. But let me just tell you, there is a gracious advantage to having been in a place like that. You come out, and the devil's laugh does not sound so loud, Toddy. When the enemy wants to mock you, instead you say, "Shut up, lying devil. I've